Wisconsin lawmakers are considering a bill that would make sexual misconduct against students a felony. It's Wednesday, August 23rd. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Cardinal Stritch University is closed, but a new school is breathing new life into the campus. Corrine Hess will have that story. And we'll have the latest on this week's heat wave, including information about school closures. Stay with us.
You tune in every weekday for your dose of local news on Wisconsin Today. You enjoy headlines with context as well as a longer story. This news is community supported. Join in with your gift at wpr.org/givewi today.
School employees who sexually harass students would face felony charges under a bipartisan bill moving through the state legislature. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, the proposal aims to clarify what's right now considered a legal gray area.
Current Wisconsin law does not explicitly prohibit a teacher or school employee from saying the kinds of things to students that would be considered sexual harassment in a workplace. Carrie Pingle says that exposed her to ongoing harassment when she was a student at a private Christian school in southeastern Wisconsin. She said she told police that an administrator there targeted her under the guise of counseling, but she was told that no law had been broken because the man never touched her.
This will be the case for every child in every Wisconsin school until this law changes. This man can legally work or volunteer with your children today.
The proposal would make such behavior a felony. People charged with these crimes could also permanently lose their licenses to work in schools. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The University of Wisconsin-Madison will absorb the bulk of a $32 million cut in state aid, which was passed by GOP lawmakers and signed by Democratic Governor Tony Evers in July. The state's flagship university will see support decline by around $7 million this fiscal year alone, but enrollment growth, donations, and research grants will more than make up for the loss. UW System Vice President for Finance and Administration Sean Nelson says more than 30% of Madison's budget comes from donations and grants. For the state's other campuses, it's more like 5%. Nelson says that leaves them with fewer options to account for enrollment declines and the most recent cut in state aid.
You know, in a climate of flat state support, and obviously we had this prolonged duration tuition freeze, they were more adversely impacted because of the balance of their overall revenue. That's something that we're watching very closely.
Three state universities, UW-Oshkosh, UW-Parkside, and UW-Platteville, have all announced layoffs, furloughs, and other spending cuts to close combined deficits of more than $30 million. A private Christian school will open at the former Cardinal Stritch University campus in 2025. Corrine Hess reports the state's new education funding formula is making that expansion possible.
For years, Gus Ramirez wanted to replicate the success of St. Augustine Preparatory Academy, the successful choice school he founded on Milwaukee's South Side. But it wasn't until state legislators gave private schools their largest funding boost in history that Ramirez decided to go forward with his plans. The Ramirez family purchased the former Cardinal Stritch campus in Fox Point weeks after the state budget was passed.
I delivered it only when the new funding formula was created and passed. Otherwise, we would have been facing a gap of funding of well over $10 million with the two schools, and we just couldn't afford that.
Taxpayer funding for private choice schools increased to $9,500 for elementary school students and $12,000 for high school students. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Bills advancing in the Wisconsin State Legislature would limit the ability of prosecutors to drop charges in certain types of cases. State senators heard testimony yesterday on legislation that would require prosecutors to get a judge or a court commissioner's okay before dismissing or amending charges in seven types of cases. That includes alleged domestic abuse, sexual assault, and being a felon in possession of an illegal gun. Republican Representative Nick Redinger is a co-author of the proposal.
I think we can all agree that we must get more serious when it comes to crimes being committed while illegally possessing a firearm and enforcing the gun laws we already have on the books.
The bills would also prohibit deferred prosecution agreements in certain types of cases. Opponents say the bills would worsen court backlogs. Milwaukee public schools will be closed today, and that's due to an excessive heat warning in Milwaukee County. All after-school recreation and athletic programs are canceled as well. The district's central services and administrative buildings, though, they will stay open. Only MPS schools on the early start schedule are currently in session right now. The first day for schools on the traditional schedule won't be until September 5th. Much of the state is experiencing a so-called heat dome, and because of that, the Midwest electric grid could see energy demand reach record levels today and tomorrow. As Joe Schultz reports, Wisconsin utilities and regulators say the state's grid is prepared.
With heat indexes expected to be in the hundreds, the Midwest grid operator called on utilities to prepare every available resource to prevent power outages. It says demand could exceed records set in 2011. The state's utility regulator says heat-related outages are rare in Wisconsin, and electricity providers say they prepare for extreme weather year-round. Melissa McCarville is with Alliant Energy.
We design, engineer, and construct our facilities to address all weather conditions, including extreme heat.
Utilities say they aren't anticipating outages, but crews are ready if they occur. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Alliant Energy is a sponsor of WPR. Coming up after the break, we've got a Wisconsin life story about a 900-mile bike ride. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about two friends on an adventure 50 years in the making.
Two Wisconsin teenagers in search of adventure in the 1970s rode their 10-speed bikes from Anago, Wisconsin, through Minnesota, to the Canadian border, and back. 50 years later, they reprised the 900-mile ride. As Jan Larson tells us, they had to make a few adjustments and had a new purpose.
Mark Blaske was 18 and Nick Schmelter 16 when the friends spent 9 hot summer days and mosquito-infested nights pedaling through the Wisconsin and Minnesota Northwoods. It was July of 1973. Mark rode his Raleigh Supercourse that cost him $149. Nick, his trusty Big Schwinn. Everything they needed, Nick says, they carried with them.
We had panniers and packs and sleeping bags, and we used tube tents, you know, basically a plastic tube. You strung a string between, and you tied that to trees or whatever you could find, and you sort of slept in that open-ended, which didn't help for the mosquitoes.
The first day, the teens racked up 140 miles before stopping to camp. Mark recalls, it was a rough night.
And we jungle camped in a wayside after that 140-mile ride near Fifield, Wisconsin. And by 10:30 at night, we were being devoured by mosquitoes. And I said, Nick, are you sleeping at all? No, I can't sleep at 2 minutes. So we got up and rode 4 miles in the dark on Highway 13 to a little motel in Park Falls that cost us $3.50.
Averaging nearly 100 miles a day, the two completed the journey with nary a mishap. Well, nearly, says Mark.
We'd ridden the whole way. We were 15 miles from home. We hadn't had a flat tire. And I was getting cocky and just doing kind of a serpentine route down a very quiet country road and ran over a board with a nail in it and flatted.
The two did make it home. In the fall, Mark left for UW-Madison. Nick stuck around to finish high school before his own UW-Madison college years. The two drifted apart. Until 2020, when COVID found Nick holed up and looking for connection.
And I was Googling past friends, and I remembered the bike trip that we took in 73, and I Googled Mark Blaske, and I found his website.
It was a website showcasing Mark's art. Nick, now 66, and Mark, now 68, reconnected over the trip and life. As the 50th anniversary approached, Mark suggested a reunion ride. When they realized cancer had killed multiple loved ones, they decided to turn the ride into a fundraiser for cancer research. Mark contacted his alma mater and worked with the Carbone Cancer Center to set a goal and launch a website for donations.
This is where it all starts.
50 years older, the two modified their cycling plans. They rode the same route and stopped in the same places. But a team consisting of a young friend, Andrea Kubischak, who drove a support motorhome, and Mark's wife, Emily Blasky, who handled logistics, joined them on the ride.
One of the things that I think is so great about this is this renewed friendship. And I sort of want to be like a fly on the wall, on a rolling wall, watching these two.
Not tuba fields, that's what he's talking about.
After a week on the road, the cycling team rolled into Antico on July 17th, completing a second 900-mile ride to the Canadian border and back. And this time, without any flat tires. The ride, they say, made a difference for them. Nick says they hope it will make a difference for others, too.
What better way to make this worthwhile and be meaningful than to do it for something, you know, do it for funding? And I know we'll put a small dent in the cancer research, but it's a dent that we'll be proud of.
Jan Larson is a professor emeritus with the Communication and Journalism Department at UW-Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. As always, you can find us every single weekday morning wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, leave us that review, say hi to us, or let us know how we're doing. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.